In the name of the living God, creating, redeeming, and sustaining.
Amen. Amen.
So we were in the middle of a pandemic the last time this lectionary cycle came around, and something I just missed, somehow I just missed this in the middle of the pandemic, is that the Old Testament stories follow these heroes of faith. And so we started with Adam and Eve, and we keep going on to all these heroes of faith. And today we find, I believe, two heroes of faith. One, Moses in the desert, and also in the gospel, the woman at the well. And so I want to start by looking at Moses in the desert. And also remind us that the heroes of faith, part of what makes them heroes is how God meets them in their humanness. So let's explore that a little bit. So Moses is in the desert. He's led these people away from slavery, away from oppression, and they're in this place in the Negev that is known as the wilderness of, it says sin in the in our translation, but it's Zin. It has nothing to do with sin. But it is rocky and desolate. And these people have nothing to drink. And you can imagine, you know, you've left this terrible place, but it has food and water. And you're out in the middle of a terrible place that has no food and water. These people are saying, why are we here? What are we moving toward? What's going on, Moses? And another thing that's funny about this desert is I think people imagine that it's huge and insurmountable and just so vast because they spent 40 years in this desert. Well, the reality is this desert is only about 150 miles across. So I read one commentary that said, even Girl Scouts walking 3 miles a day could surmount this desert in 2 weeks. So like, it's not that rough. But there were 600,000 men in the desert, which means there were probably more like 2 million or more women and children. 2 million people trying to make their way along 150 miles. I also read that if they had walked 3 miles a day, so you imagine, I'm trying to imagine 2 million people walking that far each day. But even if they had, they'd be able to make it in 40 years around the earth 1.5 times. So they stalled along the way, these 600,000 men and all of those who traveled with them. They were traveling in circles. They had to have been taking wrong paths, making wrong turns over and over again. Which brings me to this gem. Why did Moses wander in the desert for 40 years? Even then, men couldn't ask for directions. There they are, wandering around, and they're thirsty. And God has given some explicit instructions about how to get out of this crisis. Moses says, God, I need your help. And God says, here's what to do. And so I read about how this played out, this miracle of this water emerging from the rock. And you can find it in both Exodus and in the book of Numbers. And in Numbers chapter 20, God says, Moses, speak to the rock. And Moses listens to God, and then what does Moses do? He strikes the rock. And in Exodus, Moses says, strike the rock one time. And what does Moses do? Moses strikes the rock two times. Moses decides, in this wandering, leading these people through the desert, that he knows how to do it better than God. And I think that's what really kept them in the desert for 40 years. Now, God gives them the water they need to survive. God hears the prayer. God answers the prayer. But there's also a consequence. Numbers chapter 20 names Moses' problem in the 12th verse explicitly. You did not trust me. And Moses, who has trusted God up to this point enough to lead his people out into this desert wilderness off to find the promised land, keeps coming back to his own impulses. And there is a consequence. I remember when I heard for the first time, it clicked in my mind. Moses never made it to the promised land. He only could glimpse it from the mountaintop. And then all those people who made it those 40 years and hadn't yet died are the ones who saw the promised land, but not Moses. So in the season of Lent, we are intentional as people of faith about going on this journey in a desert place. And we create that desert place by making our worship stark. We create that desert place by either taking something on or giving something up that acknowledges the barrenness of our souls. So I'm wondering, and it's usually about this time in the season of Lent where we start recognizing where we're wandering in circles. You know, we might have, I know for me, it's like there's one discipline that's going very well, and there's another one where I just keep coming back to all my bad habits, and they keep smacking me in the face. I'm wondering, where are we trusting in our own devices instead of in what God would have us to do? And the reality is, if we're intentional about going to the desert, we will be most likely just like Moses. Striking the rock twice instead of once, striking the rock instead of listening to the rock, wandering around, making wrong turns. So we have another person of faith in today's gospel. It's the woman at the well. And she clearly is someone who has gone around in circles. She's been married 5 times, and now she's with a man who's not even her husband. And she encounters Jesus. So Jesus is on this journey, and his disciples are hungry, so they go off to get some food, and they decide to walk through Samaria. It's probably, I'm guessing, a shortcut to get to where they're going, and they probably want to get through there as soon as possible because the Samaritans are enemies. But there they are, and Jesus sits down to rest at the well. There's probably not much shade because it's noon, and this woman comes up. And nobody goes to the well at noon. First off, there's no shade. And the people who did go to the well at noon were most certainly people who had something to hide, or they were running from something, or they were of disrepute, or they'd been expelled from their community. Because the tradition was you get up in the morning and you go with your friends and your family and you go fill the water jugs to get you through the day. So she wasn't prepared for the day, first off, or no one would share with her. And she was headed to the well so she wouldn't die, maybe. That's what I'm imagining, because her life has gotten that bad. And this woman's, I don't think, just thirsty for water. She's thirsty for hope. She's thirsty for connection. And then Jesus is sitting there, and I'm imagining Jesus in his humanity is going, oh no, what do I do about this woman? First off, she's a woman, and Jewish men are not supposed to talk to strange women, and she's a Samaritan. So this woman, and she's coming at noon, and Jesus is probably thinking, nobody's going to come to the well at noon. I can sit here and take a rest. Oh, here she comes. But Jesus, in his holiness, in his divinity, acts contrary to how people expect him to act. So when he's not supposed to speak to this woman, he greets her. And he doesn't only greet her, he says, will you get me something to drink? Well, you're not supposed to ask anyone to get you something to drink if you're a Jew. That's not a Jew. This is like against all of the rules. And then he engages her and starts to tell her the truth in love. He starts to see her as a human being, as a person. Just like God provided a way for Moses in the desert, Jesus shows us the way through when we are alienated from one another. Jesus, I think, uses this well to show us how we can draw from the springs of life. So Moses and his people and this woman at the well and her people, they have both developed habitual, self-destructive patterns. I think the Jewish people developed habitual, self-destructive patterns too. alienating themselves from other people simply because of who they are. For Moses, God made it possible to drink literally from stone. And for the woman of the well, Jesus made it possible for relationship to emerge where there was never a possibility of relationship. Jesus did the opposite of what was expected, first by reaching out to her in kindness and then by engaging her. This woman no one would engage. And then even as she reveals, actually he reveals, he gets her to reveal all these things about herself, he decides to stay connected to her. This action contrary to what we're expected to do, what we're told we're supposed to do. God is continually inviting us into relationship with God and with one another. So this past week, I went to the Episcopal Parish Network Conference in Jacksonville, Florida. And it's this conference where people from all over the United States and some people from all over the world convene in this one place, and we imagine ways we can be the church in more vital ways. And so I see all these people who some of them I've known for 17 years. And some are new friends, and you sit at tables and you greet one another. And there is one person that I had a feeling was going to come to this conference that I really did not want to see. I just didn't want to see this person. And he is like a Samaritan in my life right now. And I started thinking through strategies even before the conference. So what am I going to do if I run into him? And you've all had this experience, right? Where there's someone you just don't want to see. And then you know you might see them. So strategy one, avoid him at all costs. It's easy. There's hundreds of people. You can see them across the room and then go the other way. Strategy number two, well, I could take this opportunity to confront him and say, hey, we need to talk. And tell him all the things that he's done that have wronged me. I thought about that option too. That's a little bit harder option than option one. So all along this conference, I've managed a little for the first day or so not to run into him. And then finally there he was sitting right near to me. Looked up and there he was. So my first strategy to avoid him worked pretty well. We didn't talk. And that really didn't bring any kind of satisfaction though. Because I kept hearing at this conference over and over again, it's vital that we remain connected to one another. And I'm hearing this message over and over again, and I'm not connecting with my brother. So before I went, my husband suggested something called contrary action. Just like what Jesus did at the well, instead of avoid someone or shame someone or even think bad thoughts about someone or blame them or confront them, the contrary action is to say hello, engage, be curious, be kind, treat this person the way I'd want to be treated. And so, of course, he showed up near to me again. God has a way of doing that. And this time I decided I would just simply see him and treat him like a person. And the amazing thing about taking that course of action was that it changed me. I don't know if it changed him. Actually, it doesn't matter if it changed him. It changed me. The truth of today's gospel is that God is always seeking us out. And God is always ready to meet us and be restorative in our relationships with God and with one another. The reality Moses and the woman at the well present to us reveals that the most faithful of us, Moses, so faithful, except for those times he struck the rock twice and didn't listen, and the most dubious of us, this woman at the well, who had this checkered past. All of us have a tendency to run around in circles. We ignore what God wants us to do. And the result can be as consequential as it was for us as it was for Moses. We could journey our whole lives only to catch a glimpse of the promised land because we decide we want to keep running around in circles and doing the same thing over and over again. When God's calling us into communion. Communion, if you take the pieces of that word, com is prefix that means with, together, in association with, and emphasized with force completely. Union, it means we are joined. It's together that we are completely joined to one another and to God. So being here at worship with one another is the first step. I see it as our training grounds. One man this week talked about it as the Camino boots. So if you go on he went on the Camino de Santiago, and his buddy went, and they told you to break in your shoes, and he hadn't broken in his shoes. And by the third day, he had blisters all over his feet. And then they had to go more slowly. They had to practice in these shoes. So his friend jumped back with him, went more slowly on the Camino. And slowly but surely, his feet healed and the shoes became more worn. That's kind of like what we do when we come to communion and are in worship together. But if we haven't done it in a while, or if we cease to do it, we start getting blisters on our feet, metaphorically. It's here that we practice communion so we can go out into the world and live it and have courage, strength, and courage to love and serve God with gladness and singleness of heart. Because God's always waiting, always at the ready to lead us into life. And it doesn't matter what we've done in the past, how we did it in the past, whether we wore our boots in or not. It doesn't matter what time of day we come to the well. The living water lies before us when we have the courage to seek out relationship with God, who is the rock of our salvation. And that living water is there to quench our thirst and help us, give us the nourishment we need to grow in relationship with one another. We need each other if we are going to truly be in communion. So I'm wondering where we are connecting with other people of faith, other people, period, in our day in and day out, beyond this place. Our world's getting increasingly more isolated and polarized, and we need relationship with one another and with God if we're going to be followers of Jesus. And I see that in pretty miraculous ways here at Calvary. Every week, there are 11 people here who get together and study the Bible and study church history through Education for Ministry. And every week, there's kind of drop-ins, because it depends on who's helping in Sunday school and which parent's coming down to Sunday school. But there's a community that forms of people who want to be disciples, just like they want their children to be disciples in Sunday school, each week in the Calvary Community Hour. And there's a community of people who want to connect with one another and want to develop that relationship with one another, who go to Laundry Love and Tender Mercies, and who are going to Bethany House and who've been at Found House. And there are people who want to connect with one another who have the courage, or who have the pattern, one or the other, each week of going to coffee hour. So I'm telling everyone today, if you're not connected, be encouraged by this table and the meal provided here, and let it sustain you that you might have the courage to be in community with one another and grow as disciples beyond this table. And I'm telling folks, if you know, that might be really scary, because there are a lot of times we come to church and we've been traumatized by past relationships, and we've been burned by past relationships, and trying to reach out in love and trying to take a contrary action where the person didn't want to receive it. So hear this invitation too. If you ever want to go on a walk with me or have coffee with me and just talk about any of that, that's a way we can ease into greater connection and greater life and find the living water. So we can, A, keep wandering in circles, B, trust God's leading us in a different way. Trusting God and being led in a different way awaits us when we keep coming back to God and connecting in communion with one another. Amen.